Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. I pray that you will think through my mind and speak through my lips, and everyone in the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. We honor the best gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation during this broadcast, especially the gifts of healing. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covet with you, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's read our foundational scripture we have been using for our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. The meaning and the importance of faith. As I have expressed before, it is my opinion that after one has received Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, or has been born again, the next thing the new believer should understand is how to live and walk by faith. Now, if you have found Hebrews 11, verse 6, follow along as I read. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. The simple fact that this verse tells us without faith, it is impossible to please him should be a red flag to let you know that faith must be important if one wants to please God. Now, if is the qualifier. You have a free will to do as you please. You can choose to please him or not to please him. That choice is yours alone to make. Now, please go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And we will read verse number 17. And it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. God wants children that have a heart for him to serve, to lead, and to worship him in the highest degree of adoration possible. Amen. Our last time together, we were about to move on to the next level of our study. But I want to capitalize what we have already found out about faith. First, faith is always now. It is always present tense. It is not tomorrow. It is not going to be, and it's not past tense. Faith is always present tense. Faith is the substance, the materiality, the tangibility of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence or proof of things not perceived by our senses. We have learned that faith is a way of life. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. That's Romans chapter 1. And we will read verse number 17. And it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just of those that have been declared righteous shall live by faith." Amen. Dr. Michelle and I, First Lady of this ministry, we have discovered that people are the same no matter what their ethnicity or culture, and they all make the same mistakes in reference to faith. They start out in a blaze of glory, embracing the message of faith, and then all of a sudden, they just stop. They just drop off the face of the planet. They start and make a 360-degree turn and to begin to shoot the message down because they do not really understand it. They did not take the time to really hear the word. They got excited about the things that faith will produce, but they have not taken the time to develop their faith. Let me repeat that. They got excited about the things that faith will produce, but they have not taken the time to develop their faith. So that is a way, so that it is a way of life and not just a way of getting things. Please go with me to the book of James, chapter 4. Again, that's James, chapter 4. And we will read verse number 8. And it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Now, would you please go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. People get excited about the things and don't really understand the position of faith in terms of being a way of life. So Matthew chapter 6, we shall read verse number 33. And this is Jesus speaking, and it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now it's interesting, in this verse, Jesus is telling us to seek first, not only, but first. So there has to be a second, a third, a fourth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he wants us as his children to seek him first. If you make faith a way of life, then the things will take care of themselves. If you focus on getting things, it will not be a way of life. And as soon as an obstacle comes or a challenge arises, you will be discouraged and be ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater because you feel as though you are not getting what you believe you should or what you deserve. But I want you to know that faith works and that God's word produces results. God's words produces results. You will have the happy marriage. You will have the prosperous business. You will have children that are under your obedience, and they will be a blessing to not only to the family, but to the world. Now, please go to Hebrews chapter 6. God's word produces results. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 9. And it says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Verse 11. "And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience." Through what? Through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Verse 13. "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you.'" Verse 15. "And so, after he patiently endured, he obtained the promises." Amen. So the promises of God are real. You just have to work the word of God. We live what I call in the age of the microwave generation. Everybody wants it now. Well, in the body of Christ, it doesn't work that way. It says, "And after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." My question to you is, are you going to be patiently and endure? Are you going to obtain the promises? Or are you going to be like a lot of Christians and just a lot of people and just give up? Amen. Something to think about. Many people get confused about faith. They do not listen. They do not hear. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Just like some of you. And you also think we are telling you to deny the pain or the empty wallet, when in fact it is empty. Faith is not saying you do not have pain. Faith does not say that the tumor does not exist. Faith does not say you do not have any money in your wallet. Faith is not saying that at all. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Faith is not saying that. And that's what people get confused about. You there at 2 Corinthians 4? Let's go to verse number 18. And it says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now that tells us that the things which are seen must exist. If they did not exist, you cannot look at them, because you cannot look at something or see something that does not exist. Amen. And God would not waste his time in telling you to look at something that does not exist. He has a universe to run. The very fact that he says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen," means that the things which are seen do exist. They are there. That means the pain is there. That means the tumor is there. That means the wallet is empty. Yes, and the fear is there. What faith does not do is look at the circumstances. Now, did you hear that? What faith does not do is look at the circumstances. Faith does not look at the circumstances. Faith is not saying that those challenges are not there, but faith does not look at them. It does not deny them. Faith just does not look at them and does not allow them to change the things that are seen and to dictate the terms of our lives. He is telling you, look at the verse again, 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So what are the things that are not seen? Well, number one is, with Jesus' stripes, I was healed. That is not what's seen. But what do we look at? You look at, my God shall supply all need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Look at the reality that you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. That is what you look at, and that is what you confess with your mouth. Amen. Please turn to Proverbs 18:21. Again, that's Proverbs 18:21. All right, it says, death and life are in the power or the authority of the tongue or your words, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You have been given that authority. Amen. And a lot of Christians don't use or know that they have that authority. Now go with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. And we will read verse number 8. And it says this, and this is Jesus speaking himself, and he's speaking to his disciples. And he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen. I believe this power is not necessarily for personal power for godly living, but power for a new task or responsibility to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Amen. To take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Christ commands us to be witnesses, to tell others about him regardless of the situation or the consequences. Church history informs us that all but one of the 11 apostles heard this promise, became martyrs. John died in exile. God empowered his disciples to be faithful witnesses, even when they faced the most intense opposition. That same power or authority for witnessing is available to us today. Our task is not to convince people, but to testify of the truth of the gospel. But to testify of the truth of the gospel. And we do that by faith. Amen. That is what you should look at. And that is what you should confess with your mouth. Remember, death and life are in the power or the authority of your tongue. And while you are looking at the things that are not seen by the senses, while you are confessing that, it is causing your faith to generate God's power to such an extent that it overcomes that which is seen in the natural and wipes it out. Amen. Let me repeat that. It says, and while you are looking at the things that are not seen by the senses, while you are confessing that, it is causing your faith to generate God's power to such an extent that it overcomes that which is seen in the natural and wipes it out. We do not deny the sickness. We deny it is not having authority to dictate the terms of our existence. Do you understand the difference? God is telling us to deny what the senses are telling us. What God is telling you to do is look at the things which are not seen or not perceived by the senses. Now, can anyone tell me how we look at something that is not seen? That's absolutely correct. We look at it with the eyes of faith. Amen. We look at the things that is not seen through the eye gates of faith, because faith is the proof of the things not seen. And what is faith? Faith is synonymous or interchangeable with the word of God. So what does God have to say? Let's see about this. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. What does God have to say? Now, 1 Peter 2, 24. And it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Now, if you are not healed, then God is a liar. If your needs are not met, God is a liar. Because he says in his word, my God shall supply all your need. Not the biggest portion of your needs, not the major things, not according to your empty wallet, but according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. You have to look at what the word says. The devil has so cleverly kept the word out of the average denominational church. Because if you do not have the word, you will not have any faith. Amen. Now, the average denominational church, you're going to go in and you're going to hear the message of salvation. But you're going to continually hear the message of salvation. But okay, after you hear that, then what? Then what? Amen. The scripture tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please our Heavenly Father. So we must understand the principles and the meaning of faith. If you do not have the word, you would not know what God's cures for the issues of life are. Therefore, you will have no choice but to gravitate to what you see. And sadly, that is what most Christians do. They confess what they feel. They confess what they feel. I have heard people say, yes, I believe I'm healed, but I still have this pain and I'm not feeling so good. What they are doing is letting the circumstances dictate to them their defeat rather than faith in their victory. Amen. Let me repeat that. What they are doing is letting the circumstances dictate to them their defeat rather than faith in their victory. Amen. You have to understand the difference. And most people think they are being honest when they confess those things. But in reality, they are being foolish or presumptuous. Amen. I used to be that way. I complained about everything and blamed it on everyone except the one who really was to blame, Satan himself. But God is not a liar. The Bible says that it is impossible for God to lie. If God cannot lie, the only alternative is he must tell the truth. So if God says, I am healed, I must be healed. Please do not misunderstand me, because we live in these imperfect bodies and this imperfect world. We get attacked with sickness and diseases, and sometimes have to use our natural means to deal with the symptoms. But you know what? My time is just about over. But please join us next week as we will continue our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.